We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. Man, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, listen, we're going to switch gears right now. We're done with home fries. We're moving on to a segment I've just become to really enjoy called Right Sports. So some of y'all already know our friend Hannah Stevens. She used to be known sometimes as the UA sign girl. She made a name for herself by appearing at UA Sports and holding up signs that caught everybody's attention. She, you know, got the attention of people like Feinbaum and others. Next thing you know, she's got her own gig with ESPN. And I'm just thankful to have her come on once in a while and give us a dose of Right Sports. So, UA sign girl Hannah Stevens, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Phil. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm gooder now that you're on the air with us. Well, let me ask you a question. So this past week we had the NFL draft, and the SEC dominated, but tell me what you saw and, like, break it down for us. What should we know, and who were the surprises in that?
Sure. So I'll start with this. I'm going to go from a different perspective to start. I want to say that Nick Saban did a fantastic job in his debut on College Game Day. I will say that I don't know a single person who thought he did poorly, and that just shows how great of an analyst he is, but how knowledgeable he is in the game of football. And that's probably one reason why Alabama had such a dynasty with him, was because he is a smart man. And every single draft pick, he has something to analyze. He had something to share about that player, their perspective or their mindset. It was very intriguing and very, I think, entertaining. So on that end, it was awesome.
Hey, I got to ask you, is it true? Did he eat an oatmeal cream pie on the air?
That I did not catch. He could have. I was so busy on social media, and I was busy on a couple of phone calls during the draft, just, you know, people getting my perspective on who was going to go where. But no, he surprised a lot of people, and it would not surprise me if he did that. He has really shown a different personality than he showed while being a coach, and a lot of people are really starting to enjoy this Nick Saban that's no longer in a shell.
How about that? All right, good enough. Okay, so what happened during the draft?
Sure. So I'll say this. It was very exciting for me to see these guys who, and maybe it's because I'm a female, but regardless of the school, it's emotional. I think it's emotional with every single draft pick, because these guys, this is what they've dreamed of their entire life. And to see these dreams come true for these young men, it was just one of the most, you know, I think, inspiring and encouraging things. And so I loved it. You know, I'll say probably one of the most surprising picks. You know, I think maybe a Caleb Williams, the first pick of the draft, right? Because, I mean, he's kind of a iffy character, so to speak. You don't really know what you're getting. I mean, he's a great player, but he does have a lot of controversy surrounding him. So that was going to be a pick people watched to see if he really was going to be the first quarterback drafted. And then you have to give UNC's quarterback a round of applause. I mean, being as high up as he was, third-round pick overall, and just kind of showcase that you don't really have to go to an Alabama or a USC or a Michigan to make your name known. But other than that, I mean, I think the rest of them fell into place. I mean, I'm excited for even Tyrion Arnold. You know, he is basically like Nick Saban's son. And so to watch him surprise, and Jalen Milroe was there, obviously. But overall, it was a great, great first round, and I think a great overall NFL draft. And I was very excited just to see Nick Saban doing his thing, but also getting to see these dreams come true for so many players all over the country.
It is cool. I mean, you're watching it, and then, you know, they get to pull up the jersey, you know, and their family sitting there with them and all that. It's pretty fun. Let me ask you, so Jalen Key, I got one article here that called him Mr. Irrelevant. Tell me about this.
Yeah. For me, Mr. Irrelevant, I think, you know, if you're not really in the realm of sports, you're probably like, well, that's a little offensive, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And I mean, the reason is this, you know, you're the last pick in the NFL draft, right? So you're kind of like, oh, well, it's just the last pick. Well, people forget that Brock Purdy was a Mr. Irrelevant, and he led his team to a Super Bowl last year. Unfortunately, did not beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but still an incredible performance. He's a great guy. He's a believer. He is just a tremendous example of what you want in an athlete, right? What you want in a young man. And, you know, I think Jalen Key is probably the perfect epitome of a Mr. Irrelevant. Because he embodies that persona of, well, you think I'm Mr. Irrelevant, I'm going to show you, kind of like Brock Purdy. So, you know, it's got a historical realm to it. You know, a lot of these players, you know, some of them don't. Some of them you won't hear from them again. But a lot of the more recent years, you've had Mr. Irrelevant. They've gone on to not only make a name for themselves, but, you know, put their teams back on the map in ways that they were struggling beforehand.
I remember, and I mentioned this to you off the air. I mean, back in the day, Brett Favre came out of Southern Miss, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think he was very high on the draft. Like, he was one of those who he came in to be somebody else's understudy, basically. And then next thing you know, he's like the guy who never retires. I mean, he's the Brett Favre who played well past the usual playing time and was a Super Bowl champion and just hard as nails. Some of them don't get picked first round, but they wind up being the guys later on.
And I'll say this about Jalen Key, you know, he came to Alabama from UAB. So it just kind of shows what the epitome of the transfer portal can be. Because I've said this on many podcasts, many shows, I'm not opposed to the NIL. I'm not opposed to the transfer portal. I'm opposed to how the NCAA has done a poor job setting regulations and rules and boundaries for these players. Because what happens is you have what's going on now, and then you have the NCAA upset with how much money's being paid or this or that or whatever. But it's kind of like this. It's kind of like having parents of a child who don't give the child any rules. And so the child pushes those boundaries and says, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I want. And then the parents get upset when the child does something they didn't want them to do without giving them the rules beforehand. So that's kind of what we're seeing. But my point is the transfer portal in and of itself is not bad. It's actually a really good opportunity for these players. I don't agree with an NCAA that just recently ruled that you can transfer an infinite amount of time and, you know, you can start immediately, because it kind of takes the beauty out of the game of football. Because for years, you know, the thing that the NCAA had for it, you know, with football, was that unlike basketball, you had to stay at least 3 years. You had to stay until your junior year. And now you have this ability for players to, you know, it's all about money or opportunity to start. And so for me, I just, you know, I think it's going to be an awesome opportunity for players like Jalen Key, who otherwise wouldn't have had this opportunity.
Well, I know we had too, by the way, we had some, I mean, the SEC dominated once again overall in the NFL draft. We did have, I think Justin Rogers was like one of the last guys in the overall draft. He came out of Auburn. He was a defensive lineman.
Yep.
And he went to the Cowboys, I think. But so Auburn was there, but the top SEC teams were what? Alabama, Georgia, was it LSU was number third, number three.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's just so amazing because the SEC was never on top like this. It used to always be the Pac-10, now it's the Pac-12. And that used to be the conference, the Cal, the USC, the Washington, the Stanford, you know, these programs that, you know, I mean, let's just be honest, when Pete Carroll was at USC, that was the dynasty, right? Like, in, you know, the early 2000s, that was the program you wanted to play for. That was the program that was winning championships and setting the pipeline in the NFL. And here you have Nick Saban. I mean, Nick Saban has the record for the most, you know, not only overround draft picks, but first round pick from a coach in this modern era. And it just showcases how much, you know, these players go to Alabama to make it in the NFL. So for me to see that the ACC is leading the way is just so encouraging, and I love it because, you know, it's not just in football. It's in baseball. It's in basketball, and now it's in softball. I mean, if you know, we're getting to be into the soon-to-be SEC tournament and then the Women's College World Series, and, you know, it used to be that it was all Pac-12 or maybe even Big 12, you know, obviously with Oklahoma. But now you have the SEC competing for all these championships, and I'm here for it. SEC, it just means more, right?
So do we need like a new professional football league just for SEC graduates?
Yeah, I always said that if Alabama wanted to ever start their own little like G League of NFL, right? Then we would just have all these players. I mean, just think about it. Phil, think about all the players from Alabama and Auburn. Let's just keep it in state. Let's say we had the Birmingham Legends, I don't know, right? And you had them play in Birmingham like you did, you know, like the Cleveland Browns or the Atlanta Falcons. and you just had talent from Alabama and Auburn, you wouldn't need to recruit anywhere else. You would get players. If players knew they could stay in Birmingham and play in the NFL and make money, they would do it in a heartbeat. And just think of the teams you'd have.
We may be onto something.
Henry Ruggs.
This could be a thing.
I mean, you would have Tua. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe someone's listening right now and just consider my idea. I just need some rules to y'all.
And Bo Nix never would have transferred? Maybe not. But anyways, nonetheless.
No. I'll say he's another example. And, you know, this is a conversation for another day on why he really did leave and why I don't agree with him leaving. But I will say he did the right thing for his personal career, getting a shot in NFL, because I said this on Twitter and I'll say it again. If Bo Nix would not have left, he would not have been a first-round pick. If he stayed at Auburn his entire career, we're looking at maybe a second, third, fourth, probably like a Stetson Bennett type thing.
So who picked him up in the draft?
Oh, goodness. Why am I blanking all of a sudden?
I saw it, but I can't remember who it was.
Not Jacksonville. My brain. J.J. McCarthy went to the Vikings. Bo Nix, was it the Bears?
It may have been.
I don't recall. So, I'm just having to get my brain for a second. But, yep, the Bears. But, I mean, that's a good stepping stone for him. That's a good place for him to go. So, I'm excited. And, you know, when players utilize the draft in an honorable way, not every single year, not because of, you know, they're not getting playing time, but for them to really get their name out there, like, you know, even Jalen Hurts, I'm all for it. So I'm very excited for Bo Nix, and congratulations to him and his family.
So I got to ask you before I go to the break here, one quick question, slightly off topic, but since you and I just came up with the brand new Alabama Professional Football League, did you see there's a story that I just talked about right before you came on the air that there's a new, they're calling themselves the International Football Alliance, American football with teams based in both Mexico and the U.S., one of which is scheduled to be in Huntsville. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
Well, if you've not heard of it, then nobody's heard of it.
Well, maybe not. I'll just say this. I have been in my own little world here with basically my three sports have been obviously the spring game and all that, 8A and all that, but also softball and baseball has been top of my priority list right now, trying to get all these games and watch them because we're soon to have the SEC tournament for both baseball and softball. So, you know, that's kind of been piquing my interest right now. But no, that sounds incredible. I'll have to check that out during the break.
I'll send you a link to it.
Okay.
All right. Hey, listen, we got to take a break right now, but I want you to hold on during the break because I want to switch gears. You put up an amazing social media post about the memories and the after effects of the 2011 tornado. So I want to just talk to you about that for a minute too, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all stay tuned. We're going to take a break right now with our friend Hannah Stevens doing a little bit of Right Sports. But, yeah, we're going to take a sidestep here and talk about what it meant to be around during the 2011 tornadoes and what she saw personally. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Like making common sense like a superpower. Going back to the phones right now with our friend Hannah Stevens. Hey, Hannah, real quick clarifications. You and I both quickly went to the computers and we found out it was Bo Nix going to the Denver Broncos.
Yep. Yep. BB, Broncos, Bears. I knew what I was saying. My brain and my mouth were on two different wavelengths.
hey, by the way, I sent you that article on the potential for an international football team coming to Huntsville. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. I'm dubious, but we'll see.
Yeah, Huntsville's kind of become the new, I guess, the grounds for this stuff. I mean, we got the Trash Pandas, and then we have that soccer team now here in Huntsville. Huntsville's kind of the up-and-coming city, I guess, for stuff like this. But I'm excited for it. I mean, if it means more football games for me to watch, I'll be there because I love me some football.
Well, listen, friend, I got to switch gears on you. So this past weekend was the, I think, 13th anniversary of the April 2011 tornadoes. And I mean, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, I look back on it. I think my house was the only house in Etowah County that had a tree down on top of it, and it just wound up that way. That's nothing compared to what other people suffered. But it was kind of weird. I was in the state senate at the time. I was actually in Montgomery in the state house, and I saw the video of what it was doing coming through Tuscaloosa. As those long-track tornadoes came across, they were barreling straight towards, you know, my home, actually. And then they split in half. And the weird thing was they basically ran on both sides of my Senate district, and we wound up being the only place in Northeast Alabama you could get gas for the next 2 weeks because the power stayed on and all that. But not so much in Tuscaloosa. So you wrote a piece on your social media that just really blessed me, talking about you know, the resilience of the town, the people, even the athletes who turned out, and you know what Coach Saban said to the players. Just give us a – we got about 4 or 5 minutes here. Just give us a little bit of your memory on this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I was that was my freshman year, right? I mean, that was about to be finals week, you know. And I remember watching James Spann. I was in our dorm, and the Lord blessed me with a good RA because I was actually headed to 15th Street because church had been canceled. But my I was a rower, so our one of our assistants was having a baby shower that night on 15th Street. So I was about to head there. He's like, "You're not leaving." And so anyway, I ended up staying at the dorm, and you know, it was coming right towards campus, and it actually turned. If you look at the map, it takes us right onto 15th Street. And, you know, if it would have hit campus, we'd have been dealing with a much more insane situation. But, you know, I'll say this. As devastating as that tornado was, and, you know, I had a friend, Lauren Brown, passed away in that tornado. As horrible as that tornado was, getting to see how the Lord can use devastation in a positive light was probably the most, I mean, I've never experienced anything like it. I mean, the first people I came into contact with on campus were actually Auburn fans. Some people from Auburn, Alabama drove up to Tuscaloosa just to help. That summer I got to work with some students from the University of Tennessee that stayed and wanted to come here during their next spring break and help with recovery efforts and building new homes. But you know, as hard as it is to see some of the things we saw, I mean, we saw people, in grave situations, you know, trying to help find people off the tornado. But you saw people come together in a way that, regardless of race, regardless of political status, regardless of anything, we were able to work hand in hand together with a common goal of rebuilding our community and helping others. And that is just that beautiful depiction of what I wish our country could be, right? That we can look past some things and just work together and be kind and courteous to one another. But, I mean, that tornado, I mean, it changed everyone's life in the state of Alabama. I know there was some in North Alabama up here. You know, there was one in Coleman that morning. But, you know, I think the Lord can use devastation for his glory and our good, even when we can't see it. And I think, you know, to see how Saban got the football team to come together and help the community. But, I mean, Phil, I'll say this. Having the community being able to root for some teams that year was crucial. For us to have that, you know, 2011, that fall, for us to win the national championship after, you know, losing our city, right? And then in that, you know, 2011-2012 year, I mean, we had softball, we had gymnastics, we had wheelchair basketball. I mean, all these teams won national championships, and it was like we went from being a city that was devastated by a tornado to being the, you know, the town of titles. And so, I mean, it was just, it's something I can't really explain. It's just, it was probably the best part beyond the national championship. Were not only our people and our community working together, but for a slight moment, it didn't even matter who you rooted for. It didn't matter if you're an Auburn fan or an LSU fan or a Tennessee fan. People came down here, shelf that for just, you know, that season of life, just to help other people. And that was a beautiful thing to watch.
It was indeed, and you're right up on it on social media. You can find her at the UA Sign Girl. I mean, listen, Hannah, thank you for sharing that. Amazing story. Thank you for your own personal testimony, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Thank you. Have a good day, Phil.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Wow. 13 years ago, last weekend. Big doings. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up, hour number 3. We'll be right back.